to be. And we are going to be going into the Word of God. I'm a little excited here tonight. My good friend Erwin Lazar is flying. In fact, he's probably landed by now in Madison. So immediately after the service, I'm going to very quickly go down there and pick him up at the airport. He flew in on Northwest Airlines. And no, we flew them once, and that is my honest opinion. They're Northwest, but that's my opinion. But anyway, now that's the airline, by the way, where the engines fall off every once in a while. Those DC-9s, you know, they just drop off. Remember that? They're having all kinds of trouble with those. They said they'd vibrate loose and just fall. Wouldn't that be a feeling? Be up there about 30,000 feet, and all of a sudden the engine just drops off. It kind of make you, yes. That's one thing it will do. It will draw you close to God. You know, if you're inclined to pray anyway, you'd really pray then. But anyway, so right after the service, I'll be heading out rather quickly. It isn't that I'm trying to avoid anybody. It's just that I have to get down to the airport and pick him up. So just so you know that ahead of time, you won't wonder, what's the matter with Meyer tonight? Is he bugged about something? No, I'm just picking somebody up at the airport. So praise the Lord. Anyway, it is great to be able to open the Word of God together, because we are fighting a lot of spiritual battles in these last days, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what I mean by getting better is that the Lord will come back. Because the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, is that not the scenario of our day? I think it's every so often we have a reality check and we realize just how it really is out there. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the whole world lieth in a situation of a complete lack of discernment. We need the Word of God to show us our direction. David the psalmist said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if you look at the Word of God, it will show you the way. It'll explain everything. Huh? Do you ever look at the world and just consider the current events, the things that are going on? And people are walking around saying, what's this world coming to? What's this world coming to? You look in the Bible, it tells you what it's coming to. Why do people misbehave like that? Why are there conspiracies? Why are there evil men huddling together in secret conclave? Why are they planning to do all of these things? Well, you read in the Bible, it'll tell you just why, that it would happen and what it's all coming to. Now, if you read the back of the book, it does tell us that we win in the end. So that's nice. I appreciate having the Bible. It encourages me, picks me up. Hope it does you too. That's why we gather like this, to go into the Scripture and to gain strength from it. Praise the Lord. It'll give you peace in your heart. It'll drive out devils. See, the Word of God doesn't belong to the devil. Now, he uses it in a twisted sort of a way, but it's not his. It doesn't belong to him, and he has no authority to use it. You, as a Christian, have authority to use it. That's the difference. And it's wonderful to be able to pick up the Word of God, knowing that it's not only in your hands, but in your heart, and to be able to use it against the enemy. Praise God. We are going to begin with prayer, and then go into Isaiah, the 59th chapter. We're really moving through this book now, aren't we? It's been almost a year, you know. Or has it been a year? I lost track, and it doesn't matter. We're dealing with eternity, not years. Anyway, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord, for thy great and many blessings, for all thy goodness, grace, and mercy, for all the wonderful things thou hast done for us. And, O Lord, we're not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, but in thee, O Lord, we find strength. For thou hast accounted us worthy through thy saving blood. And, O Lord, we yield ourselves to thee this night. I pray that thou wouldst bind every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power that would come against us, that would try to work against our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst give us faith and ears to hear. Help us to perceive and to understand and to be encouraged and lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. O Lord, I take the power of thy saving blood and I break every hex, every vex, every curse, every ancestral curse, everything that would come against thy people, thy word, thy kingdom, and thy will. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst prevail here by thy mighty spirit. O Lord, by thy great sword that proceedeth out of thy mouth. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help each of us to lay hold upon thy promises. Let thy will be done. Let the devil be rebuked. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Now that taken care of, we can start. We are in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. And the prophet Isaiah, speaking by the power and the inspiration of God, starts out by saying, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." Boy, that's good news already, isn't it? It would seem to some people, just looking at the way things are unfolding here at the end of the world, that it seems there are very few people coming unto salvation. There are very few people yielding to God. And to the carnal person, people would think, well, you know, maybe God just isn't doing it or can't do it or whatever. The Lord is the same. The God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers, and he changes not. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change. People change. You often hear people say, well, you know, times have changed. Well, that isn't God that changed, it's people. They're wandering farther and farther and farther away from the commandments of the Lord. They're becoming more deaf to the things of the Spirit, more rebellious to the commands of God. That's the problem. Yes, times have changed. They're moving away from God. As the Apostle Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Because this generation is not going toward God, they're untoward. They're going toward hell. They're headed toward hell at a rapid pace. You see? We have to understand that. And so the goal, the way of the world is to walk in darkness. It is to head toward the hell that God has prepared for the rebellious. There, we got that taken care of. But isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is able to save? God is able to save. His hand, his arm is no shorter than it ever was. The power of the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary has all the strength that it had the day it was shed on that cross. Nothing is diminished. Nothing has changed. People have rebelled evermore against the Lord. We're going to see that as we read on. So, it says his ear. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Is it harder to get answers to prayer? No. It's just harder to get people to pray. Amen. Prayer is not what some people think. It's not some little book that you get out and go through this vain repetition as the heathen do, thinking they shall be heard for their much speaking. And it is certainly not taking a bunch of beads and letting your fingers do the walking around these beads. Vain repetition as the heathen do. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Can you imagine sitting through a bunch of drivel like that for hours? People do it. You wonder why they're having problems? If you talk about something attracting devils, that's Babylonian ritual. The Catholic system isn't even Christian. And her daughters are not Christian. People seem to think we got Christianity all over the place. No, we got sin all over the place. If you had real Christianity all over the place, you wouldn't have the nonsense going on that you do. You wouldn't have all the gin mills and the whorehouses and all these things that are out there. Because the mother of harlots has spawned many daughters. Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, anybody who holds the same doctrines as the Catholic system. And I'll tell you, they've all got some of them. It's just called diversification, right? You just take the mother of harlots and you look at the daughters, and like mother, like daughter, they all have some of it. There's a little Catholicism and all Protestantism. That's the problem. God's true church did not come out of the whore. God's true children were not born of the harlot. You see? We have been raised up, called together, brought forth, by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's direct dealing with you, not through a denomination, but with your heart directly. We have to understand that. Now, the Lord tells us that the problem is not that his ear is heavy. God's ear is not heavy. It's just difficult to get people to pray. That's the hard thing, isn't it? Well, now you can say amen or oh me. Huh? But isn't it the truth? God hears and answers prayer. But in order to answer prayer, he's got to hear some in order to answer them. But he doesn't. He does answer prayer. He's a prayer-answering God. Now, it says, here's the problem, right here. This is it. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Some people think, well, everybody sins all the time, so sin can't matter because otherwise nobody could be saved. Isn't that what you hear so much? People say, well, you know, the sin question, everybody's got sin all the time, see? That we are just creatures of sin, we are bound to sin. Well, if you are, then forget about praying because God won't hear you. The only prayer that God hears from a sinner is a prayer of repentance. None other. You can ask for health. You can ask for wealth. You can ask for all these different things. You'll get nothing if you're wallowing in sin. The fact is, God will hear the sinner if the sinner repents. And repentance is turning away. Oh, this is an unpopular message. But it's true. That's okay because I'm not running for popularity. Amen. All right, now, you wouldn't want me to. You know, I don't think you want Reverend Wonderful to come up and say, dearly beloved. Huh? You know how they talk. And it kind of comes out of the middle of their throat like it's kind of almost a half of a vomit, you know. Dearly beloved, I am here to tell you that God loves you. Huh? If I was any uglier, I'd look like Robert Schuller, wouldn't I? Anyway, bad enough I sound like him for a minute. Old Smiley. Sometimes I wonder why his face just doesn't crack and fall right off. But anyway. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So you got all these queers, weirdos, lesbians running around out there saying, oh, we go to church, we're Christians just like you. Oh, no, they're not like me. Did you ever look at some of these queers? Look at their face. You know, it's a wonder why the Board of Health doesn't close down their face. It's sick. These people are completely, absolutely corrupted and perverted. You know, the AIDS thing is so bad right now that it is the number 3 killer among women. It is the number 1 killer among black women. And from the time of diagnosis to the time of death is about 9 months in women. And there are massive amounts of people who have got this. You know, 10 to 15 years ago, they were talking about the time when all these people would have AIDS and they'd be dropping dead. It's starting to happen right now. These are perilous times. And it's not just the women, but men. It's just that in women, the disease hides. It manifests itself differently. And so they usually catch it when it's a lot later stage. But there is no cure for it. There isn't any. It is a plague, just as sure as I'm standing here. It's a plague on a wicked world. And we have got a system out there of a value system that is so deteriorated that it's acceptable now. This is what they've always wanted. True, there are a lot of people who will never accept it. I won't. You won't. There are others who won't. But the problem is we have a government that does. We have Hollywood, which sets the trends of lifestyles that accepts it. It's on the television. Even Ellen comes out of the closet and they have a big celebration. You know, Ellen Degenerate. I think her name is DeGeneres, isn't it? But it's really Degenerate. They were having, I don't even know anything about her other than she's a queer and I don't want anything to do with her. But because I don't watch television, but Louie.
They interviewed her girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you. they wanna claim that it's they were born that way. You know, that they were born that way. Actually, you know, the question comes up, why do some people have tendencies toward being queer? Why do some people have tendencies toward stealing? Why do some people have tendencies toward adultery and fornication? Why do some people have tendencies toward lying all of the time? You know, are you going to blame all of that on chromosomes? Or could it be that there are evil spirits that specialize in certain areas that take over a life and begin to use that person like a puppet on a string? And that's exactly what it is. And you can spot it every time. You can look at people, you can listen to people, and you can, if you get good at it, you can tell just what devils are at work. And they're at work. They have fun with their human toys. They like to play games all the time. And I'll tell you, they really love two particular places. They love government. They like to be in the governmental scene. And they love to be in the entertainment thing, you know, to get people captivated. They love that. Anytime they can be in the limelight where everybody's looking at them. Boy, I'll tell you. Anyway, let's continue on here. This gets even better. And it gets real good at the end. Real encouraging. First, I'm going to paint a pretty gloomy picture for you so that you can appreciate being saved out of it. Some people don't realize what they've been saved out of. Where would you be tonight if the Lord hadn't pulled you out? What would you be doing? Maybe you'd be dead, pushing up daisies, huh? Who knows? But the Lord is gracious. The Lord goes on and he says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Sounds like the Democratic Party, doesn't it? "None calleth for justice." Well, not just them, a whole bunch of others. "None calleth for justice." You might say, "What do you mean? We've got a justice department." No, we don't. We have a just us department. Just us. Meaning them. Janet Reno would agree. Yeah, it's a just us department. I don't have to appoint a special prosecutor. There's no evidence. No evidence. What does she want? There's enough evidence to sink a battleship. We have a president and a vice president that are absolutely corrupt. They would make Bonnie and Clyde look like Sunday school teachers. They are complete, absolute, godless, reprobate, wicked, vile people. You might say, how can you be so strongly outspoken against your president? He is not my leader. The one I'm following is in heaven. I'm not following that bunch, that rat pack, in Washington, D.C., District of Corruption. I'm just not following them. Amen. Furthermore, I'm here tonight to announce that I am absolutely ashamed to be an American under these circumstances. I am ashamed of this godless country full of perverseness and wickedness. It wasn't always this way, but under these circumstances, it is a shame. We ought to hide our faces in our hands and call out to God. Amen. That president we've got, even the earth rejects him. His mother. Did you hear about that? It was announced that he was going to go to, I got this off the internet, Reuters News Service at the university. It was announced a while back, a couple weeks ago, that Bill and Hillary and their entourage were going to go down to Mexico and then on to Central and South America. Right after the announcement was made, a volcano erupted in Mexico. Even the earth rejected him. Even the earth belched and puked at the thought of Bill Clinton coming there. Huh? Furthermore, it's the truth. Mother Earth puked. Huh? at the thought of those people going down there. I read that on the internet. I thought, oh boy, isn't this something? Anyway, they went down there, and I think what it is the boss is checking in all the branch managers, you know, for the drug traffic is what's happening. Because he said, that's the purpose. They got this drug problem. The problem is there's too many freelance drug dealers that aren't going through the channels, you know. They're little private entrepreneurs. And they want to wipe them out. Knock out the competition. Bill Clinton told the president of Mexico, he said, the problem is, he said, you know, we have 6% of the population of the world living in the United States. And we use 50% of the drugs. Now that's what you call, when I was studying marketing in tech school, when I was working in my associate degree, we called that a marketing survey. Huh? 50% of the drugs used by 6% of the world population. Well, what you've got to do is you've got to figure out a way to mass market this even more. So they're down there trying to figure this whole thing out. Go down to Central America, South America, where all these drugs are coming through there. And they know what they're doing. Anyway, so do the people. You know, in this country, people will listen to Clinton make a speech and they'll ooh and ah all over him. He went down to Mexico, and according to Reuters News Service, masses of people came out to watch him come in, and then they began to shout, "Idiot Clinton! Idiot Clinton! Go to hell!" That's what they said. It just goes to show you there are some people that still have some common sense. Arnie? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. There's a little poison in that smile, isn't there? And it turns into an angry face all of a sudden. Some people have been just absolutely shocked when they looked at his face. For those that weren't here Sunday, I was telling about this woman out in Maryland that I was talking to. And she is the head of the Maryland chapter of the Concerned Women of America. And she was, and a friend, were in the rotunda at the Capitol in the Washington District of Columbia, District of Corruption. And they were standing in there with a crowd of people. And the president and others with him were walking through there. It was a reception type of a thing. He was shaking hands and smiling. And this woman I talked to on the phone said that she got real close. She was walking right past her, and she said, "Mr. President, I have to speak to you." And he stopped to shake her hand. She said, "I have to talk to you about partial birth abortion." And she said her and her friend took a step backward in shock. They saw something come over his face. It looked so demonic. It looked so scary. It was as if they were looking at a devil. His face changed so quickly it startled them. And he said to her, he snapped at her, and he said, "I have more important things to do. I have life and death matters." Huh? You know, there is a wonderful man in Staten Island. He is the borough president of Staten Island. He said any doctor who does a partial birth abortion ought to be arrested and tried for murder, and upon conviction, it ought to be done to him what he did to the baby. He ought to be stabbed in the head and have his skull crushed. Those are the words of the borough president of Staten Island. When I go there this year, I want to look him up and shake his hand and say, "Thank God for you, mister. There's still a few people around that have some common sense." Do you realize that there are thousands of babies being born in this country that are actually held in the doctor's hand? And just the head is left inside the woman. And as he's bringing this child out, he takes a sharp scissors and stabs that child in the head. The child clenches its fists, tightens up, and then they crush the skull. That's partial birth abortion. And Bill Clinton could have stopped it, but he said in good conscience he couldn't. that by accident of birth president has caused the death of countless millions of people since he's been in office that you and I don't even know about. And he can claim up and down that abortion is a good thing, but it's just too bad that his parents didn't take the good of it and abort him. Now, you might not like that, and I might sound a little harsh, but I'm coming against evil. Now, God will judge him. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. The Lord's going to take care of it. But this is real life and death business. And I'm going to tell you something else. I am absolutely sick of hearing about a Jewish Holocaust in Germany. I am more concerned right now, and by the way, that was trumped up too, that not that there wasn't one, but it's altogether different than what they've been presenting. But I will tell you this, there are millions and millions and millions of babies being ripped from their mother's wombs. And it's at the behest of the Supreme Court and the government that is in place. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a hot hell, and it's going to be quite a judgment day. Now, that's how I feel about it, and I believe I have the mind of the Lord. As I said, he's going to take care of it. He'll do an excellent job of it. I'm glad it's not up to me. But I'm going to preach against it, and I'm going to declare it, because people are sleeping out there, and you've got to wake them up. And sometimes you've got to push them pretty hard because they can't hear. They have been so anesthetized as if they had a shot of Novocaine right to the brain. Sometimes you think they must have. Maybe they went to the dentist and they went up a little too far or something. And they had a numb head. Do you ever try to talk to some people? You might as well talk to the fence post. And they'll just let it go on and on. It's time for people, if they're going to be a Christian, to be one. Otherwise, forget it. Let's read on. See, I'm not preaching any more harshly than this scripture is telling us. These are harsh words in the scripture, but they're true and they're the word of God. Listen to what else he says. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. You know what they want instead? What is good for society? Did you know that every year the judges, all the different judges, they go down and have a convention in Arizona. And they are told there that every decision they make should not be based on an individual situation or circumstances, but always what is good for society at large. You know what that means? That means there's no justice. You know why? Let me tell you something. Don't fall for that crazy line of society at large, collectivism. When I look out there, I don't see a society. There is no society. I see individuals. I see individual people who have individual rights. When you take that fictitious thing called society, everything is in general. And you don't know what's good for whom. I see individuals that must be protected by God's law and by the laws of this country, but it's not happening. You understand what I'm saying? I do not see a society. There is no society. That is a fictitious term. It's collectivism. It's all individual people out there. You can look at a million people and say, there is a society. I don't see that. I don't see a society. I see a million individual people. You understand? When you look at it that way, then you've got to take truth and justice into consideration. But if you want this majority rule things, if you want this evil system called democracy, then you're going to have every kind of evil to come along with it. Now, none calleth for justice. See, God apparently was a little bit interested in political things here, wasn't he? Huh? Nor any pleadeth for truth. Oh, another thing, let me tell you. You know why ministers don't preach about these things? I'll tell you why. Because they have signed their church up with the federal government under a 501c3 thing, and they have agreed by contract to never speak anything contrary to what the government is doing. Did you know that? That's a fact. I have no such contract. Rather, I have a calling registered in heaven to preach the truth wherever I see it and whoever it applies to. Whether they be great or whether they be small, all I'm here to do is declare the word of God, and by the Almighty, that's exactly what I'm going to do. It goes on and says, they trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. God is looking at all of these people, all of this system of government in these last days. What's he seeing? He is seeing one evil, one treacherous situation after another. The Lord sees spiritual things. And he sees what's at work behind the scenes. What does it mean? Vipers and cockatrices and spiders and all these things. He's referring to devils and the web that they're weaving. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. Do they try to cover their deeds with a garment, a cloak of innocence? Do they try to do that? How about the Masons? Those filthy, rotten, ungodly Masons, those Maha boneheads. What did they do? Huh? Oh, they give out treats and they give out bags of fruit and candy at Christmas time. That ought to give them away. They have hospitals that they build. They collect money for certain illnesses. And people think, oh my, those sweet, wonderful men. Huh? And then they go into their chambers and do those filthy rituals and call upon the devil. Huh? Jabelo, 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 and stamp their foot. So mote it be. Huh? Contacting spirits. Oh, they're not wonderful men, these doctors, these lawyers, many of these ministers. And you know, there was a time, and I don't know what the statistics are now, but 50% of the Southern Baptist ministers were Freemasons. Had to deny God at the door before they let him in the lodge. Standing there with a hoodwink on their head, a rope around their neck, and walk up and give their heart to a worshipful master. Huh? You talk about abomination of abomination of the first magnitude. No wonder we've got trouble. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. You know, Stuart Crane one time was speaking. He was invited. At the time, he was a teacher, professor at Bob Jones University. He later found out Bob Jones was a Freemason, so he quit. He resigned. But he was speaking when he was still there at the time. A Baptist minister invited him to speak. And he was there, and he was talking about certain esoteric rituals and idolatry and things like that. And suddenly this Baptist minister got pretty mad because he was hitting on the doctrines of Freemasonry. And so this Baptist minister, in front of all these people, he said, "I don't appreciate you talking about the Masons." He said, "I never mentioned the Masons. I was just teaching telling about these doctrines, these things that are done." And this minister said, "I never did it. I never did it." And Crane looked at him and said, "You never did it, but you know about it, you filthy swine." And the man got up and ran right out of his church. His wife followed him with tears coming down her face. Huh? There's something wrong, but thank God somebody exposes these things. Another time he was speaking and he was doing the same thing, and a couple of Mormons jumped up. Two Mormon elders. One was older, one was younger. You know, they always got a junior, senior kind of an arrangement. And they challenged him. They said, "You're lying. You're a liar." So Crane looked at him and said, "All right." He said, "You challenged me." He said, "Now, take off your shirt." This was a big auditorium full of people. And the Mormon said, "I'm not taking off my." He said, "Take off your shirt, and if you don't take your shirt off, I'm going to come down here and rip it off from you. You called me a liar. You challenged me. I want these people to see your underwear. You've got a compass and a square on it, embroidered right in it. Mormons are Masons. They are devil worshipers. They are not Christian by any stretch." Well, needless to say, they didn't stick around either. But you've got to call people on these things. We can't have one of these everybody join together promise keeper thing. You know, everybody join together, everybody be happy. The truth has to prevail. Their feet run to evil. It's says in the 7th verse. Well, I don't think I finished 6. Just in case I didn't, I'll do it. It says, their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. You know those Masons, when they're initiated, they have a knife to their throat? Did you know that? A knife. They have a challenger. They have a summoner, just like in witchcraft. They've got a black onyx, a black-handled killing knife called an atame, just like the witches do when they draw down the moon, and they hold that knife to their throat. Violence is in their hands. Now, who are these Masons? As I said, your sheriff, your judges. I don't think anything above a dog catcher is going to be a Mason. You can be pretty sure of that. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. How come? Because they're illuminists. Because they start wars. Because they manufacture diseases. Because they are manipulating society. What does Rush Limbaugh claim to be? On the cutting edge of societal evolution. Huh? As he's paid $70 million a year to work for them. His brother revealed that. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. What does that mean? They make an arbitrary decision. There's no true judgment. Stuart Crane stood in front of a judge one time, and his lawyer stood up. He had found a pretty good one to help him, but his lawyer stood up and said to the judge, "You can't do that. It's against the law." And the judge said, "I am the law." Huh? And what chance have you got? None. Not in their system. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Oh, you talk about an appropriate bunch of scripture verses here. Crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. See, that's why if you get into this situation in this world, you start to do battle with the enemy, you don't have to walk their road. You don't have to play their game. You don't have to let them worry you. Because you can be at peace with God. With all the threats. And I'll tell you something. They have a problem of the month club. It's become a problem of the day club now. Used to be problem of the month. Remember when the Russians had all these atomic bombs, you know, and they dropped that bomb on you every day in the newspaper? And on the 6 o'clock news, they dropped that bomb on you every day to scare you half to death so you'd pay your taxes and be a good citizen and not question anything because you needed Big Brother to keep you safe, right? And you needed the public school system to educate your children so they'd learn properly. They come out with a new problem and a new problem. Everybody, it's dangerous to eat this. It's dangerous to do that. It's dangerous to inhale. Dangerous to exhale. Dangerous for your heart to pump. Huh? Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light. But behold obscurity. Isn't it something? Election year comes along and people think, oh, if we can just get somebody in there now to fix things. Ha. Where are you going to find somebody? Oh, I'll tell you, there's one on the throne who's in charge. That's where our hope ought to be. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. Remember when you were like that? We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. That's the condition of the world, right there. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them, and I'm going to tell you, they know better out there. The sinner knows better. They like to act like, well, what's wrong with what I'm doing? If they really want us to tell them, they need to sit down for a while, because it's going to take a while. You know, I was mentioning Bill and Hillary went down to Mexico. Guess where they went as quickly as they could? To the Mayan pyramid. A big pyramid with the steps in it. A pyramid to the sun god, which is Satan. Over 100 steps up the pyramid. And it's really interesting because they stood at the base of the pyramid, and I got this off from Reuters, and Hillary was really, really upset. She said, "Oh, how I wanted to climb that pyramid." She said, "I watched the others climb it," she said, "and I stood there with such envy, with such desire." Those were her words. She said, "I couldn't climb it because I didn't have the right shoes with me." Well, let me tell you something. I wasn't born yesterday, and I don't think my mother had any stupid children. Can you imagine the first lady not having the right shoes with her? She's got more shoes than Imelda Marcos. She had plenty of shoes. The truth of the matter is, that is a heathen, pagan, witchcraft temple. You know what the Mayans did up there? They would take a person, they would segregate a person out. This going back to the, as America was in its early days, being discovered by the Spanish and all that, Cortez and all these people. Anyway, they had ritual up there where they would take this guy and give him everything he wanted. Anything he wanted in life, they'd supply him with everything. But the day would come when he'd have to give himself to the sun god. They'd take him up those steps. The priest of that sun god, that Mayan priest, was so fast with a knife, he had to cut that person's heart out while it was still beating, be able to get the heart out and throw it into the fire and have it burn. And Hillary, can you imagine that, cutting somebody's heart out alive while it's still beating and throwing it into the sacred fire, as they called it, and burning that thing before the sun god? And Hillary stood there. She said, "Oh, I stood there with such desire, with such a longing, and with such envy because I couldn't climb those steps." The fact is, she couldn't climb those steps because after May 1st in witchcraft, the priestess can't climb up higher than the priest. In other words, from May 1st until Halloween in witchcraft, the sun god is dominant and the high priest is in control. So the female, the priestess, can't usurp authority over that. She couldn't go up. It wasn't that she lacked shoes. She is a fourth level witch, according to the occult. They claim her as a fourth level witch. She couldn't climb up because it wasn't her place to do so, because it was after May 1st, Beltane. And Bill was supposed to go up, but he couldn't because he got bombed out of his gourd and fell down and ripped a tendon out of his knee. And I think I know why it happened now. He couldn't climb up the thing either. He had to stand there. You might think, "Oh, come on. You mean this is for real?" Yes, it is. They're very much into witchcraft. Very much so. And they stood there at that pyramid, that ungodly pyramid's designed like that, the way it slopes up so that it absorbs the maximum rays of the sun from every side. That's why they design it, big base at the bottom and going upward, because it's sloped so that no matter where the sun is, it absorbs the power of the sun. The pyramid is a sun symbol. And from May until, Beltane to Samhain, you have the male dominant force. Hillary couldn't climb it, and it wasn't because she didn't have the right shoes. Give me a break. Huh? And Bill couldn't climb it. He could have, but he couldn't because his knee was out of whack. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Anyway. So, the transgressions are multiplied, it says in verse 12. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In Billy Graham, of all people, recently stated that he feels that President Clinton is a very spiritual man. And he is. But not in the sense that he was trying to imply. He's spiritual, yes. But he is not spiritual toward the Lord. And I don't think any of us here would fall for such a thing, no matter who says it. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, you pull out of evil and you try to get out of their system, and what happens? You're hunted down. You become a prey. Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. That's something that's hunted, like an animal. And the Lord saw it. Praise the Lord. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he did something about it. You see, what's going on today is nothing new. It's just more of the same. And it's in a high-tech scenario. And he saw that there was no man. You see, these people think, we'll just find the right man, get him in office, you know? Get the right pope in there, he'll fix it up. Get the right president in there and he'll fix it up. Oh, everything will be nice. Get the promise keepers going, everybody join together. Why, we'll have a wonderful world. Mother Earth will love us. Oh boy, where do I begin? And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. You will note, he didn't turn to one side and say, hey, son, you go down and save the thing. His arm brought salvation unto him. Emmanuel, God with us. God put on flesh, the one God, the one Spirit of God. There are not three gods up there, and there are not three persons, nor personalities. That comes right out of Catholicism. And anybody who would examine that doctrine and look in the Scripture would find that it's true. When God said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance. Do you realize that when Jesus comes back again, he's coming with a vengeance? These people doing these things are not going to get away with it. All of these Reds, all of this commun-ism, all of this stuff that's going on, they're not going to get away with it. All of the false religion. Our God is going to come with a vengeance. And furthermore, when he put on flesh and came the first time, he came with a vengeance. And the one he went after was the devil, and he did defeat the devil. And he's going to come and clean up the rest of it very soon. Garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries. Do you wonder why I'm so outspoken? Why I'm so wound tight? Why I'm so excited? Why I'm pounding this podium? Huh? You wonder why that is? It's the only way you can preach this chapter. This is the way God has set it forth. You can't just read this thing without feeling. I'm just giving you the exact feel of the whole chapter tonight, and I want you to feel it. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Praise the Lord. You know what that means, they're islands? It comes from a word which means coastlands. Isn't it interesting how we've got, if you go over to the East Coast, we find the seat of government there. And then if you go over to the left coast, sometimes known as the West Coast, if you go over to the left coast, you find every kind of perversion. You have another government over there. You have the Presidio over there. And you have, Gorbachev over there in the Presidio, advising Bill Clinton along with his Reds and commies from China. They like to get together in the Lincoln bedroom there and have little meetings and so forth. You talk about every ungodly kind of... I'll tell you, I'm getting just plain spiritually angry at this mess. I really am. They had a fundraiser yesterday for the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers team. They want to build a new stadium. They had all these dignitaries there and all these officials. How many heard about that? You don't even want to hear about it, which is precisely why I'm going to tell you. They had this fundraiser for a new stadium for the 49ers. And I'm embarrassed a little bit to tell you, so I'm going to try and cut back and tone this down a little bit. But for entertainment, they had people that had performed for the National Endowment of the Arts coming out of your tax money. When you fill out your 1040 and you send them that check, you pay for this stuff. They had people performing acts of perverted sex for entertainment. And one, they had a man lay down and somebody carved a five-pointed star on his back, cut into his back, and then urinated on it. That's entertainment. The government thinks that's art. We got a couple art majors here. Is that art? Huh? You're exactly right. I was wondering if somebody had mentioned that. It was ritual. They said some people walked out and gagged. That's your tax money in action. Now, how does that make you feel about writing down that little check there? Internal Revenue Service, huh? Knowing it goes for stuff like that. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isn't that wonderful? When the enemy comes in like a flood. How many of you have ever experienced the enemy coming into your life like a flood? Huh? It seemed like everything was collapsing around you. Your whole life was falling apart. You were coming apart at the seams because everything was just working against you, and there was such an oppression, such a spiritual attack going on. Some of you have heard me tell this before, and if you did, you'll just have to hear it again, because some of you, I don't think, have heard this. But what the Lord means by this is, this was written at a time when warfare was an entirely different type of thing than it is now, in this age of high-tech devices. Back in the old days, soldiers fought, there were footmen. You ever read in the Bible about footmen? If you run with a footman and they've wearied thee, then how wilt thou contend with horses? There were foot soldiers, infantry, if you want to call it that. And when a war was fought, the infantry clashed. Now sometimes one side would prevail and sometimes the other. It was kind of a back and forth thing. It was hand to hand, it was spear to sword, it was shield. You could just imagine it was just a clashing together. And the enemy could come in like a flood, and you had to defend against them with your shield. And you had to have your sword, your spears, your knives, axes, anything you had to fight with, to try to defend and drive off the enemy. Well, there was another very valuable weapon. And you can go back to England if you want to, or France or Spain. They had an ancient version of a tank called a knight. The knight was the guy in the iron suit. He rode on a horse. There were very few horses. You didn't have a big cavalry. Horses were scarce and very valuable. And the knight would ride on a horse. He would be put up there and set up. He couldn't even mount a horse by himself, you know. They had to set him up there. He was the tank. All right? Then you had what was called a standard bearer. The standard bearer had a small flag, relatively small. You've seen them. They're kind of long and narrow and tapered. And they had a flag called a standard. And it was at the top of a large pole. The standard bearer's job, he never sat down on his horse unless he was going to another location. He'd get in the middle of the infantry, and he would stand in the saddle, and he would look to see where the battle was going wrong and where his side was losing, where the enemy was coming in and breaking through the line. he would quickly take that standard, he would ride over directly to where the battle was going against them. He'd lift the standard high into the air. Now out there was the man in the iron suit, the knight. He would look for the standard. Wherever the standard was, it meant, I'm needed there. He'd quickly ride over. He had his big sword, and he had that iron suit. Now, he'd go in the infantry, and he'd be in there just chopping and hacking away until finally the enemy was driven back enough to where the line was secure again. In the meantime, the standard bearer was looking for other trouble, another weak spot. He would quickly ride over there, lift up the standard. The knight would see the flag, or the standard. He'd come riding in there, slashing and hacking away until the line was secure again. That's how they fought. Wherever the standard was lifted up, the knight would come in and drive off the enemy. With his big sword, he'd come in slashing away and even the score. You see how that worked? That's how they fought in those days. That's why this is worded like this in the scripture. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now I want to tell you something. If you, as a Christian, are filled with the Spirit of God, you are a standard bearer. And wherever you see the devil at work, destroying somebody's life, trying to make shipwreck of somebody's family, whatever the case may be, you can ride into that situation in prayer. You can call upon the name of the Lord. You can lift up the standard. And the one who is going to help you, the captain of our salvation, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has a mighty sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And wherever he sees the standard lifted up by the standard bearer, he will go to wherever that standard is lifted up. Just like in the battle with those knights, that knight went to the standard. If you will lift it up, if you're in trouble, if you've got a need, you can lift the standard and you will find the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a mighty sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, will come to your rescue. He will drive back the enemy. He will secure the line. Wherever there's trouble, lift up the standard. The enemy will come in like a flood, but lift it up because Jesus Christ will be there with his sword. And he will take care of the situation. We may not have much, but we've got a standard that the knight is watching for. Lift it up. That's why prayer is so important. That's why Jesus told us time and again, pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lift up the standard. Be a standard bearer. Because the knight is watching where to go. Where is the weak spot in the line? Where is trouble? There you will find the sword of the Lord. If you will lift up the standard, he'll see it. He'll see it. And he will come to your rescue. Amen. Let me read that again. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. You felt it. I know you felt it. I felt it. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And we know Zion to be the Christian church. We know that. It's not what people think. It's the Christian church. There is no other Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Who's he going to come to? Who's he going to help? Those that turn from transgression. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In other words, God's word will be established in you. I'm telling you, that no matter what your condition is, you can lift up the standard. And wherever it's lifted up, though the enemy come in like a flood, our great commander will be there. He won't let you down. He's watching to see who's lifting up the flag. Amen. Shall we stand together? I was going to quit 15 minutes early and went 5 minutes over. We're going to pray and sing a chorus. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this night. We thank thee for thy word. I pray, Lord, that thy word would stay alive in our hearts and that thou wouldst strengthen us thereby, that thou wouldst move upon us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Help us to lift up the banner high. Help us, O Lord, to look to thee, for our help is in the name of the Lord. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us victory in our hearts, that we might have full victory in our lives. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to us and move upon us with the strength of thy Spirit, and let thy word prevail. O God, we yield ourselves unto thee. Let thy Spirit fully come into our hearts and our minds. Fill us, O Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Let thy word be accomplished. Let thy will be done. Let the devil be rebuked, bound, and cast out, and made powerless in thy sight. O Lord, I pray that thy mighty power would be amplified in our lives. Help us to walk in spirit and truth and to worship thee accordingly. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a chorus that tells us, well, let me just put it this way. As was customary in the old days, we're talking about that, when the king was in his castle, the flag was always raised, showing that he was in residence there. There's a chorus called, "There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart." If you don't know it, just kind of join in when you can figure it out.